out with that was one of the key messages of the conference a number of us have just been to, Vineyard Leaders Conference. And they were talking about legacy. Now, legacy is something that you leave behind. And the question was to us as individuals, and the question back to our churches, what will our legacy be in terms of the kingdom, in terms of Jesus, in terms of what we leave behind for others? And there's, I just wondered as we were singing that, if there are any people here who feel as though they're going through a time of shaking. They are being shaken. And maybe there are people, and the question would be, where are you, where am I, where are we in our relationship with Jesus right now? Are we moving forwards, or are we just sliding back? And what will our legacy be? And we'll probably touch on some of those points as we go through. There were a number of things at this conference which I'm going to share, because the nature of these conferences is it's not just you go and get a bit of teaching. There was a lot of prophetic words, a lot of words for churches and for individuals, and some of it most definitely stuck in terms of what God, I believe, is saying to us as a church in West Auckland. So I'm going to cover some of those areas, and some of them are, I think, really encouraging, some of them are challenging. And then there were some absolutely superb, well, I would say just one-liners that came out of some of the speakers that was God speaking or God challenging. So towards the end, I'm just going to fire some of these things out. We'll see what sticks, basically. However, I do want to thank people again for all the work that was put in at the opening weekend. And David and Nicola Bass, who were here and who shared with us, also want to say thank you for our hospitality to them. And I thought I may need to remind people of David's key point, because it was a bit overly theological. You might not have got it. I think he said God wants to blow your minds. I think that was it. So just a reminder that was something we believe God was saying to us. So the theme of this conference was Dangerous Dreamers. And it was a great theme. There are many, many dreamers that we read about in Scripture. Dangerous dreamers. Dreamers who dream the sort of dreams that were prophesied, particularly of old men, apparently. It's the old men that will dream dreams. The young men will see visions. And I think men includes women. But there are many, many dangerous dreamers. People who dreamed God's dreams and changed their part of the world and changed many people's lives for eternity. Dangerous dreamers. Got a couple of quotes about dreams and dreaming. I was told my wildest dreams would never come true, so I decided to dream wilder. Like that one, it's anonymous. I don't think about what is and ask why. I dream about what has never been and ask why not. Robert Kennedy. I like this one, Michelangelo. The greater risk for most of us is not that our aim is too high and we miss it, but that it is too low and we reach it. That was a challenging one. Really challenging. She's a dreamer. She sees possibility everywhere. The world needs dreamers and the world needs doers, but most of all, the world needs dreamers who do. Again, we can see, I'm sure, the truth and the power in those. So what I'd like to do is there's just a short video. It's only about 3 minutes long, and it was something that is trying to encapsulate what we believe God is saying to and through Vineyard churches, but also, because most of the speakers there weren't Vineyard, there was some of the best teaching I've ever heard from an American Presbyterian minister, just getting a sense of what God is saying in this season, at this time, to the churches. So hopefully. Hopefully. Try that again.
This was the moment spectators fled from the Paris concert hall, which
after years of polluting and burning, today's warning is stark. It's time to slow down.
Hooks and shouts of joy after the terrifying crossing.
Yes,
It's true. We are living in a time of unprecedented challenges, conflicts, and uncertainties. Communities torn apart by fear, mistrust, and self-centered apathy. Many are left isolated, without purpose, and living in the dark. But Jesus said, "You are the light of the world. So let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." Now, more than ever, Christ's ambassadors are required to stand up and be counted, to make a difference, wherever they are, and be the light in the darkness. Across the UK and Ireland, the Vineyard movement is ready to build on the past. It's a new season of growth, where we want to bring the light of Christ to every area of society. So the challenge is on to communicate the gospel and extend God's kingdom. Together, everywhere, in every way, dreaming of what we can do for His glory, we take each step as He leads us on this adventure. With more than 150 vibrant, culturally relevant, creative and Christ-centered churches, the UK and Ireland Vineyard already has well over 20,000 ambassadors for the kingdom. Our reach is far and wide, across many cities and towns, in a multitude of workplaces and from all walks of life. We are living and breathing to make a difference, in God's name and for His glory. But now is not the time to rest. It is time to focus, to build, and look to the new challenges ahead. To be filled and energized by the power of the Holy Spirit, and grasp what form of impossible God would now have us reach for. We will not be contained. We will not be intimidated. We will be the light of the world.
If you noticed, but in the middle of that, there was a challenge. And the actual wording was, the challenge is on to communicate the good news and extend God's kingdom. The challenge is on to communicate the good news and extend God's kingdom. Now, this isn't going to be easy stuff, but it is legacy stuff. It's stuff that leaves a lasting legacy. I had an interesting text from Nathan the other day, actually. And he's talking about wanting, as part of this, communicating the good news, he's talking about wanting to do some fishing trips. Now, if you're not aware of what a fishing trip is, in Christian terms, a fishing trip is when you just go out on the streets and you say to God, "Lord, who do you want me to talk to?" That's it. Simple as that. So I'm going to ask you to chat to Nathan if that's something that you want to know more about. It ain't easy, but it is legacy stuff. It is leaving lasting things in a community, in people's lives. Because to go on a fishing trip, you need a fishing buddy. You're going to go with someone. You're going twos. So have a word with Nathan. By having a word with him doesn't mean you're going to do it, but it means you're interested in finding out a bit more. The challenge is on to communicate the good news and extend the kingdom every place, everywhere, every type of people. It's this notion of kingdom that really got my heart. I was praying before we went to this conference about what, Lord, what is your vision for this church that ours should be? And kingdom just kept going round and round. And as we look at that in the scriptures, Jesus said in Luke 4, "My purpose is to proclaim the good news about the kingdom of God." That's Jesus in. That was his purpose, to actually proclaim. And as we read the New Testament, we soon find out that proclamation is both saying and doing. because that's what Jesus did. He did stuff and he taught stuff, and it was all about this thing, the kingdom of God, central to Jesus' ministry. The kingdom of God, Jesus said in Luke 17, is within and among you. Now that's interesting. He said the kingdom of God is within you and among you. Now, what did that mean? Well, when he spoke it to the Jews were expecting a sort of flash, bang, wallop, he's the king, he'll slay your enemies, everything will be all right sort of kingdom. What they got was, here's Jesus, and by the way, I am the king. Now, love your enemies into submission and into a relationship with me. It just wasn't what they were expecting at all, this kingdom that is within us and among us. To emphasize its importance, Paul, when he was in Rome, spent the final years of his life in Rome. A full 2 years he spent preaching the kingdom of God. It's important. Whatever it is, it's important. It was at the heart of Jesus' message. It was the heart of Paul's message right up until the day that he died. And then a one thrown in just for good measure, by the way. Grasp what kind of impossible God would have us reach for. Now there's a question to ask him. Lord, what is it that we would think is impossible for us to do? What is it that you'd have us do? And then we learn to step out into that. So we'll look a little bit more about the kingdom of God. So God's kingdom, any kingdom, but God's kingdom is where the king reigns. The king is supreme. It's where people give their allegiance to the king. And it's where the king's will is done. Those are just some of the factors about a kingdom, including God's kingdom. God's kingdom is also now. We can experience his kingdom now. Why? Because his kingdom is within us and among us. But also not yet. There's an awful lot more to come. The Bible says actually more than we can even imagine. So it's a now and not yet kingdom. It's where the king reigns, where people give their allegiance, and where the king's will is done. First question. The kingdom of God is within us if we are allowing the king to reign our lives. Are we? Are we? Have we reached that stage where we've asked Jesus into our lives to be our Savior, to run, to guide? Have we given our lives to him? If we have, then the king reigns here, and the kingdom of God is within us. If we have, and most of us have, then the king reigns here, and the kingdom of God is among us. People who through repentance, and that just means, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for the way I've lived. I'm sorry for the mess I've made. I want to give it all to you. Experience his forgiveness. And we change our allegiance from the things of the world that used to drive us to the things of God and his ways. It's that change of allegiance is part of being in a kingdom. Where the king's will is done. It's where we are prepared to step out in faith. It's not easy. Step out in faith and bring life to people and communities. Jesus said, I have come to give life in all its fullness. And he's saying to us, guys, you who are saying you're in the kingdom, who have given allegiance to Jesus, who have changed and want him to rule, you can offer life to people and to communities. That's part of the kingdom. The king's will is increasingly done. More later. Not much later, but later. Now but not yet. We can experience the kingdom now. We can live with the benefits of the kingdom now. But there's more on the way, more than we can imagine, so dream big. Dream big. Not to dream big limits what God would do through us. So dream big, because the word says there is more than you can hope or imagine in this kingdom of his. So our mission should we choose to accept it? This is where I was saying at the conference, Lord, what is it? What in sort of 10 words or less that we can focus on and then ask ourselves questions, how do we do this, Lord? What is that mission? And this is what I believe was said, dead simple, to demonstrate and declare the kingdom of God in our community. That's what we're here for, to demonstrate and declare the kingdom of God in our community. If you're from another church, that applies to the community you're from, to demonstrate and declare. And that order is important. It's what Jesus did. When Jesus came, he demonstrated that he didn't just talk about a kingdom, wasn't all words and no power. He went out and people were healed. He went out and people who were oppressed and possessed by spirits and demons, they were cast out. The kingdom of God came in power and affected people's lives. That's legacy. That's changing the world around you. That's, I believe, our mission. We are called as individuals and as a church to demonstrate and declare. So we do speak. We do tell people. We do tell people who we are and who we follow and why we're there. And it's all about this kingdom of God where Jesus reigns, where our allegiances are changed, and where he does what he has promised in the community as well as in our lives. If you want a simpler one, follow the king and further the kingdom. That's what we're called to do. To live out fully the power of Jesus. That's it. So we can ask ourselves questions. How are we getting along with that? How are we getting on with that? I was thinking about, imagine trying to describe to someone a skyrocket. Well, you can. We've all got language. You can try and describe it and tell them what it's like and how it works and what it looks like when they go off. Or, of course, you could just show them one. You could take them to a display. No explanation needed. At the end of that, you say, those are fireworks. That's what they're like. So much more powerful when they see the demonstration first than have someone say, that's what I'm talking about. And that's why we're called to demonstrate and declare. Imagine how much argument you can get into and how many questions are raised as you try to explain, yes, Jesus heals today. Imagine what it's like when you pray for somebody and they are healed and you say, that's what I'm talking about. Jesus demonstrated and proclaimed the kingdom of God in the community. And that's our calling as well. So, we read a number of kingdom parables in the Bible. I won't go into them. You can read them yourself. There's loads of them. It starts to tell us what the kingdom is like. And the kingdom is a place where people find safety and security. The kingdom is a place where small things, the Bible says, the smallest bit of yeast can make a huge difference, a visible difference. The kingdom has an impact wherever kingdom bearers go. That's us. Kingdom bearers. The kingdom is within us. So I believe that's our vision. That's our mission, to declare, to demonstrate and declare the kingdom of God in our community. And we're all, I'm asking us, are we buying into that? Do you think that's why we're here? The church isn't here just to sit behind our four walls and have a great time of worship. And the community isn't there for the church just to supply people, to fill the chairs. We are here to serve the community God has placed us in and to demonstrate and declare a different way of living, a different kingdom. That's what we're called to. One of the things we looked at last week was this journey that churches should be taking and must not settle for less. Renewal, revival, reformation, restoration. I'm leaving reformation and restoration. Renewal, we have always been about renewal. People being renewed in Jesus. People becoming Christians. And we are still about that. What about revival? Now, I'm always nervous about praying for revival. So I thought, what do they mean by revival? Helpfully, before I'd even finished asking the question in my head, they answered it, I'm pleased to say. And I loved it. Revival, when what God is doing in the church cannot be contained within the walls of the church. You just have to go out and say, look what's happening. Look at what our God is doing. Just what he promised, changing lives, healing lives, touching lives, speaking into lives. When what God is doing in the church can't be contained within the walls of the church. It's about getting out It's about legacy. It's about the community. Dangerous dreamers have, these are the bits, you know, I said I was just going to fire some stuff out, we'll see what sticks. We're getting there. This is some of that stuff. Dangerous dreamers have the capacity in Christ to imagine a very different world, city, town, or village. Tick whichever one applies. What are the nightmares in our community that people are going through that we can say, Lord, we're going to dream bigger dreams than that. We're going to see those things stop. What think about, we'll all know people, particularly those who work in the well, who see people day by day. What are the nightmares that we know people are living through day by day, and God is saying to us, I'm going to give you bigger dreams than those nightmares. I'm going to give you power and actually the desire to minister into those situations and see people's chaos change, see people's pain alleviated, see people healed in the village. So there's a question. What are the nightmares that God is saying to you? I'm going to give you bigger dreams than that. I'm going to call you to speak and to minister and to act in those situations so that the King reigns and his benefits are experienced. Then we looked at, for kingdom impact, and that's the business we're in, about the kingdom of God having an impact in our lives and in our communities. And the phrase was, we've got to put our foot down on these three pedals. Really just step it up a bit. People coming to faith, that's evangelism. People coming to faith, back to fishing trips and things. Impacting our communities. Actually getting outside of the walls and saying, Lord, what do you want us to do? And in our case, carrying on doing it and stepping it up in terms of the ministries we're involved in. Third, seeing the kingdom break in supernaturally. We expect God to work in miracles because he's promised he would. Many of us in this room have seen and experienced them and could stand up and testify to them. And I think God is saying, I want to step it up. I want to step up the number of people who you see come to faith. I want to step up the impact in this community of West Auckland. And I want to step up this working in the supernatural. Seeing God touch lives. Foot down on those three pedals. That's part of our calling for 2016. Where do we stand on that? Well, on the pedal, obviously, I hope. But where do we as individuals stand in those areas? I thought this one had just rung true with me. The what we do can be quite draining. And there's nothing wrong with that. It is. You know, what we do can be draining. But the why we do it motivates us. And if we don't understand the why and buy into that vision, we will just get ground down by the what. So if our vision, our mission is to demonstrate and declare the kingdom of God in our community, why? What is the why that lies behind that? Well, I wanted it really simple. And it sort of comes from Jesus, really. Because it brings life to people and the community. That's why we're doing this. That's why, because Jesus said, I've come to bring life in all its fullness. So, and this is a bit I love, whether you're doing the car park. Hey, Rupert, you do the car park, don't you? And somebody comes along and says, what are you doing? I tell you what, the first thing you're doing is you are part of bringing life to people in the community. And by the way, I'll help you park your car. Whether it's washing up, making the coffee, preaching, leading worship, what are we doing? We are helping bring life to people and the community. Oh, and by the way, I do this and I do that as well. That's why we're doing what we do. That's what motivates us. That's what drives us. And that's what stops us from getting ground down by the what. Because we know the why. And because the why is a vision. And because the why is powerful. And because the why is from Jesus. Like this one, the brave may not live forever, but the cautious may not live at all. One of the words I got when I was asking God, saying, what sort of season, what are we in, what are you going to do, Lord? And he said two things to me. He said, thankfulness. And we last weekend, you know, we look back at the journey we've taken, where we've come from, and we thank God for that. And we look at where we are, and we thank God for that. There's a time of real thankfulness. That's where we are and where we've been. But looking forward, it's boldness, and it's confidence in Jesus. It's putting our foot on those three pedals That's what he wants to do. The brave may not live forever, but the cautious may not live at all. It's not a time to be cautious in the kingdom. It's a time for boldness. Another one I like, don't spend more time looking in the review mirror than forward through the windscreen. We're going that away. There's another question for us as individuals. In terms of our walk with Jesus, if it's started, and if there's anybody in this room for whom it hasn't started yet, and as I'm speaking you think, I just haven't got that relationship, then please come and speak to me afterwards, or anybody else you know who is a Christian. We are moving forward because God is moving forward. And he says, keep in step. So there's two questions, a question of direction and a question of closeness, proximity. Are we heading in the right direction and are we getting closer? It's in encounters with the living God that dreams are born and dangerous dreamers are released. People who will dream God's dreams and then begin to live them, begin to leave that legacy. When people who love the word start to worship in the spirit, it's an incubator for dangerous dreamers. Word, worship, spirit. There is no more powerful combination anywhere for people to come out dreaming God's dreams and saying, yes, I'm in. That's us. And we're coming towards the end, and I guess for me and for many of us, a real challenging end. Do we have this phrase, the rhythms of life, the patterns of life that sustain and develop us and our relationship in Jesus? Are we developing those rhythms in our lives of talking to him, of seeking his presence, of reading his word, of worship? Without these, I can tell you, we ain't moving forwards. These are the rhythms that develop and sustain his presence in our lives, his dreams and his vision in our minds, and his energy to keep going. Three tests they gave us of our sort of real spiritual, there were practical ones as well, real spiritual temperature and readiness. And I hesitate to bring them out because they are so challenging for me at least. This is for churches and for individuals. And this was from a guy called Greg Thompson, Presbyterian minister I mentioned from the States. Forgiveness. How do we forgive when others hurt us? Our answer and practice to this question will either be our stumbling block or our stepping stone. It's about forgiveness, each other, out in the community. There's a whole load of stuff we can work on that in our lives. Faithfulness. How good are we at stepping back when God says, no, that's not good? And how good are we at stepping out when God says, yep, do that? Question. What are we like? Where are we? Are we standing still? Are we keeping in step? Are we moving forward with God? Are we even asking those questions? Faithfulness. And then fruitfulness. We looked at Joseph, a story in the Old Testament, and we noted that Joseph was fruitful long before his big opportunity with God arrived. Joseph just got his head down and got stuck in and did what had to be done. Created that legacy. He just kept on being fruitful, even when it meant 13 years in prison, amazingly. He still kept on being obedient and fruitful to God. And then God knew he could trust him, and that big opportunity came, and bang, was that a legacy for the people of God? Forgiveness, faithfulness, fruitfulness. Three things. We just ask God to search us as individuals and us as a church. How are we getting along? And finally, and this is finally, it's the first and final finally, we can receive his resources. We don't have to manufacture our own. We don't have to struggle on in our own strength. We don't have to grit our teeth and just try a bit harder. We can say, Lord, I need your resources. Because he promises that we can do all things through him who gives us strength. So that's where I'm going to finish. And that's where I want to offer the opportunity for prayer or for ministry. If you are in a situation where you're thinking, I need some of those resources, whether it's gifts, whether it's the fruit of the Spirit, whether it's love, joy, peace, patience, whether it doesn't matter. If God is speaking to you and stirring your heart about receiving His resources, not struggling on your own to move into some of these areas, then I'm going to ask you to pray. To ask somebody next to you, if they're a Christian, to pray with you, to come and ask one of the leaders to pray with you. But if that's you, if God is speaking, do not go without letting God fill you with His resources in that struggle. Amen.